Bibles, you're going to turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be at. Family of God, and so now that if we're able to see the spiritual family of God, then we're able to then narrow into our nuclear family and look at it through the correct lens. That we should be looking through our nuclear families through the lens of the family of God. And one thing that we've mentioned a number of times over the last few weeks is that one of the major strategy of the enemy is to bring division into family. And I believe that with everything inside of me. You should see what happened this morning in our family. The Lord is gracious and He is merciful, and the enemy is out to divide the family unit of God. Not just the nuclear family, but the family of God as a whole. And so I want to just pray right now so that my heart and your heart, and we're all just right on the right path this morning. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto my feet, our feet. I thank you, Lord God, that it is a light unto our path. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would guide us in your will. I pray that you give us spiritual eyes to see what you see. I pray that you give us spiritual ears to hear what you want us to hear, Lord God. The strategy of the enemy is to divide. Any strategy of any enemy in any war has been to divide, right? You divide and you divide and you divide them up. Because when you are one unit, they are strong. When you're not one unit, it's weaker. If the enemy can drive a wedge or a disagreement into your family, right? We all know what this looks like. If he can drive an offense into your family, or if trust can be broken within the family unit, then there's a good chance of causing problems that will eventually lead to division. The enemy knows that the family unit is a high priority of God, and so therefore he makes it a high priority of his. The enemy makes a high priority, your family a high priority target. And breaking up the family bond has been something that he's been about from the very beginning, as he's seen the strength of what true oneness looks like, as we see it exampled in the Garden of Eden. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity God, living uniquely in unity with one another, and then they go and share that with humanity. They make that. And so man and woman then get to experience what true oneness with the living God looks like. That is as strong as it gets. It's the way that God designed it to be, for you and I to experience what it means to be one with our living God. And so from that moment on, the enemy has gotten in there, and his highest priority target was the family, to separate and to divide it and to put it against one another. I'm sure many of us have seen this in our immediate families. You know, when someone gets into a strong disagreement, or maybe a fight breaks out, or maybe trust has been broken, it causes the family to separate. And this is the primary work of the one who opposes the thing of this family of God. The family unit was designed to be a place of safety and a place of peace and purpose. It was designed to be a place of blessing, a place of love, and a place of acceptance. But the fact of the matter is that families go through seasons of tensions and resistance and opposition, don't they? Absolutely. This morning's message is entitled, Tension in the Family. Tension in the Family. And I believe that the key to navigating through these times of tension, not only in our nuclear family, but in our spiritual family, is what we're going to be looking at this morning, is not by stepping away, it's not by separating, but I believe that tension and opposition can be absolutely healthy to the family if it is properly cared for and nurtured. And we'll see this in just a few minutes. So open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, and what we're going to see together is a story of unfolding of tension in the family of God, and we're going to see this man named Paul. And Paul is fired up. He's heated over something right now, and we're going to see it together. But before we get into Galatians chapter 2, I just want to give you the backdrop, which you can read in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 is essentially where the first split in Scripture takes place. The first church split. All right, it's a few years, maybe a couple decades after Jesus has ushered the church in into its mission. And along comes this camp, the Judaizers is what they're called. These are the legalist party, and they were even referred to in Scripture as the circumcised party. Well, these Judaizers believe that that faith in Jesus Christ was not enough. That if God, they absolutely believed that the salvation of God was going out to the Gentiles. And this is something that was taking place, that God's grace was now reaching the Gentiles. It was not just reaching the Jews, but now God is including the Gentiles into his family. And they believed this. But there was something that they did not believe. They also thought that all the Gentile believers in the Gentile church should fall under this umbrella of the Jewish church. That the Jews had the cornered market on what church was supposed to look like and how it was supposed to be done. And it's great that if God is reaching the Gentiles and pulling them in, but it's got to fall under this Jewish umbrella. And so if there are Gentiles coming into the family of God, then they required Gentiles to be circumcised. That if you're going to be in the family of God, then you must adhere and observe the rules and the law of Moses. That's the only way. So that's exactly what they were saying, is that Jesus was not enough. Faith in Jesus was not enough, but they had to observe parts of this law that enslaved people for so long. Okay, so this issue is something that is immense right now. The very message of the gospel was being disputed, and the way of salvation was at stake. This was a monumental moment in the life of the church. Critical, critical moment in the life of the church. And so what we have happening right now in the early church, in the family of God, is about to experience a very difficult season. They're going about to go through a split. Tension is going to rise, and people are going to part ways. A detachment of that which binds them together as one in Christ Jesus is being threatened. We're going to see racial tension at play, Jews and Gentiles, right? Or you're going to see socioeconomic tension at play, theological tension at play. All these things are working right now to bring tension into the family so that the family of God, the family of unit, can be separated and spread apart and divided so it's not no longer strong as it was. It's the way it's designed to be. And with all these things at play, the contention became so sharp, it says in Acts 15. The contention became so sharp that they parted ways. And the circumcision party, they arrive in Antioch and they begin to persuade this man named Peter. Peter, a close follower of Jesus Christ. This man is whom the church was built off of, right? Remember Jesus saying, upon this rock, as he's pointing at Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That same Peter is persuaded to do something that would have a lasting effect throughout the history of the church. And we're about to discover what happened in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And as we, right before we read this, I want you to hear the tone. If you've ever read the letter that Paul writes to Galatia from front to back, I encourage you to read the whole thing at one sitting. It is powerful to read the whole thing in one sitting because you really get Paul's anger comes forth. His righteous anger is about to burst forth. You can hear in his tone the sharpness of what he's saying, the intentionality, the urgency of what he's saying. You can hear the seriousness coming forth through his letters. Even at the end of the letter, he says, don't you see how big of letters I'm writing this with? You foolish Galatians, I need you to see this. Paul is hot right now as he writes this letter to the church in Galatia. And you can just sense his righteous anger just coming through the words on the page. And so what Paul's intention in this letter is, he's about to bring a strong and he's about to bring a firm correction to the family of God. to the family of God. He's about to bring a strong correction to his brothers and his sisters, for they have been careless with the gospel message. They've been easily swayed by false teaching. For Paul, this is a very big deal. Because not only was the doctrine about a person who is being saved being threatened, but the very fabric of what holds the family together, God's family together, was being threatened also. Okay, let's read it together. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 says this, "But when Peter," Cephas is Peter, by the way, "but when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him right to his face." This is Paul writing. "When Peter came to Antioch, I got right in his face and I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned." This is Peter we're talking about. Jesus is Peter. Verse 12. "For before certain men came from James, he was eating." This Peter was eating with the Gentiles. He was literally fellowshipping with them and communing with the Gentiles. "But when these guys came back, he drew back and separated himself." You catch that? All right, so here's what's happening. "For before these certain men, these Judaizers who are coming into Antioch, before they came in here, this man Peter, who lived with Jesus for 3 years and is now carried on this mission, he's eating and fellowshipping and communing with people who are so far unlike him, Gentiles. And they are experiencing true fellowship and community together as the family of God. Two different races, multiple races coming together as one. But when these people came, these Judaizers who said, faith in Christ Jesus is not enough, you need to be circumcised. And all the Gentile believers need to fall under the Jewish umbrella of what church looks like. It says there that when they came, Peter drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Verse 13, "And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with them." Holy smokes. "So that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of all of them, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like Jews?'" This is a serious issue. Paul is heated right now in this moment because Peter knows the gospel, knows that God has called all people from every nation and color and socioeconomic barrier, every person in the world, all of creation now has access to the Father. And if they place their faith in Jesus Christ, then there's nothing that differentiates them. They are all one in Christ Jesus. And their Father is the Father in heaven, and Jesus is their brother. And so this is what Paul is heated about. Because Peter, in this moment, he's scared for I don't know what. You could list a whole bunch of things of what he's fearing about this circumcision party. Maybe he's fear of what other people are going to think of his influence in the Jewish church. Peter is an apostle of the beginning, the early church. And he chooses to, in this moment, draw back and separate himself. He was communing with the Gentiles. He was fellowshipping with them. They were telling stories. They were praising God together. They were worshiping God together as the family unit of God. And when these people come in with this strong influence, they tear him away and they influence Peter. And Peter's influence in the heart, and he steps away from what God has designed. So where does Peter's fault lie? Why does Paul say that Peter in this moment stands condemned to the point where he had to call him out in front of everybody? Right there. "For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. And when they came, he drew back and separated himself." That is powerful. You see, Peter was living out what true fellowship with believers who are completely different from himself looks like. They were so different from him in so many ways. So many different ways. And God in this moment is saying, those Gentiles who are so different from the Jewish race, I love them with the same love, and I have given them the same promise and the covenant that I have bound with you, my Jewish people. I now share with them. They are now allowed into my family. And it's going to be, this family of mine is going to be full of people who are so unlike one another. They're going to see me a little bit different than you see me. And they're going to hear my voice in a different way, maybe, that you hear my voice. But they're my children. And I love them, and they're in my family. And the covenant that I sealed with my blood, I'm sealing it over them. It's the same covenant that I'm locking them into. And so Peter was breaking bread with them. He was sharing life with scores of people who are unlike him. God's family over the last couple decades, whatever the timing is of this, just got so much bigger. God's family got so much bigger. You read through the first 15 chapters of Acts, and people were coming to the Lord in droves, in thousands. The family of God, the Gentiles are now included in God's story. They have the exact same rights. They have the exact same privileges as the Jews. This was the beautiful redemptive plan of our God and our Creator. His family, bound by a covenant of love, experiencing oneness with Him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And being able to experience that oneness and celebrate that oneness and worship God in that oneness and share and break bread in that oneness. That's what His redemptive plan was all about. Creating a people for Himself where He is their God and their Father. Jesus is their brother. And they are brothers and sisters together in this thing. This is what fired up about, that Peter was willing to break covenant over something that God is not willing to break covenant over. Peter was at fault for breaking the covenantal bond of family with the Gentile believers because he was afraid of what others might think of him. But at that moment, Paul calls Peter out for his hypocrisy. On one hand, he claims to be in the family of God. I am redeemed and reconciled by the grace of God. But on the other hand, he steps back and his actions say something completely different. And that's what he says here. He calls him out his hypocrisy. He chooses to draw back from those people and separate himself from them. Hypocrisy is something, is when you say that you are something and your actions speak completely different. And that's what Paul is so hot about. And what it says here in verse 13 is that the rest of the Jews, they followed Peter's bad example and they joined him in there in his hypocrisy. Holy smokes. How big of a deal this was. Paul is saying, dude, in front of everybody, he's saying, dude, you are jeopardizing the entire message of the gospel. You're jeopardizing it. Peter's withdrawal, his dividing of the family of God, that was the infraction. A boundary has been crossed that is not permitted to be crossed. And so Paul rises up to defend this essential part of the gospel. Peter chose to break covenant with his brothers and sisters who were different from him. And that is what's got Paul hot with anger. This was not something little. This is not something little at all. And if you read the whole letter of Galatians, you can just see him elaborating more upon it. But this is not just an insignificant blip. He saw that Peter and his followers were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, it says. This was a matter of preserving the truth of the gospel. And in his righteous anger, he takes upon himself to defend that which Christ came to establish. He's defending this. He sees this as top priority. God has included people from every race and tongue and color into the family of God, and there's nothing that we can say or do that can ever change that. And how dare we do something like that? That through the family, through the faith in Christ Jesus, we are adopted together in the family of God, and we're bound to one another right now in this very moment. And that bound is this covenant sealed in His blood. We're brothers and sisters in Christ for all eternity. And we are to model that. This model is what's going to testify of the grace of God for generations and generations and generations. People from every different nation and color, and who have different preferences and different ways of looking at things. All of these types of people are now your family. People who once before Christ would drive you away from them and you wouldn't even be in the same room as them. But now what God has done is He's included them under the same covenant that you have got. They're in the same promises. The same promises of God are attached to them. Do you see what's at stake here? God's family is under attack. His family is being divided, and Peter's behavior is a disgraceful contradiction to the gospel. How dare you break covenant, Paul's saying here. How dare you separate the family of God? How dare you remove yourself from our family? How dare you reject those whom God has accepted? Paul urges the church in Galatia to recognize this and embrace one another as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ of the same Father. And he's urging them to embrace one another without placing demands on that relationship. Oh, you have to look like this certain way. You've got to worship God in this certain way. You all have to be circumcised if you're going to be in the family of God. You see how he put demands on this relationship? And so Paul is saying, no. These people who have been included in the family of God, we have to embrace one another as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ without putting conditions on this covenant bond. You know what it's like? It would be like this. It would be like, Anthony's not here, but Anthony's covered in tattoos. It would be like, man, I can't accept Anthony as my brother, or I'm not willing to recognize him as my brother until he covers up all his tattoos. It's that ridiculous. That I cannot accept that Anthony and I are family together, or nor will I even allow myself to enter into the substance of what that family is supposed to look like because he has tattoos. Do you see what I'm getting at? That was just a simple illustration, but that's what Paul is so hot about. Who are we to put conditions on the covenant that God has made through the sacrifice of Jesus? Who are we to put conditions on that covenant? And the sad truth is that for centuries, the church has experienced this systemic division and the breaking of what true covenant fellowship is supposed to look like. And what I believe with everything inside of me is that we are in a day in which the restoration of that family of God has become one of the highest priorities moving forward as the church. I believe that with everything inside of me. Because when the family unit is strong, it's able to have much greater impact in the world. And what we must understand is that this is God's family. And like Pastor Phil said earlier, we've all been invited to His table. We don't put the setting out on the table. We don't get to say, oh, the fork goes on the left or the right. It's whatever. It's His conditions. His conditions are the only conditions that matter. The way that He sets the table is the way that He gets to set the table. You and I just sit down and we just feast with Him and say, awesome, thank you, God. And you look across the table and you see that before Christ, you would have never sat across the table with someone like that before in your entire life. Their history, their past, and the things that they were about. And now you're family together. And you get to experience oneness with the Father for all of eternity together. And then you look at across the other table, and there's somebody who may not believe in the sort of the same things as far as like the movement of the Spirit and things like that. They're sitting on the other side of the table, but they're at the same table as us. That's my brother and my sister. And I love them. And I have to remind myself that this is God's table, and He sets it the way He wants to set it. His conditions are that if I place my faith in Christ Jesus, simple. He then becomes my Father, Jesus becomes my brother, and we are now all eternally secure and blessed in the family of God together. Paul is extremely intentional about preserving the truth that together, Together, we form one body. One body. Not just Cornerstone Christian Church. The church in India. The church in China. The church in Europe. The church in Newtown Square. The church in Drexel Hill. The church in Chester. We form one body together. This is something that we should never take lightly, nor should we compromise. It is vital to the life and the growth of the church. And I'm going to show you why. I see the time and I don't care. So Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me there. Verse 15 through 16. Foundational chapter in the DNA of our belief. And here it goes. It says, we will grow together to become in every respect mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, being joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, let's take a look at this. Could you please put up that first picture here? Okay. Obviously, here we have a grade 3 acromegaly separation. Clearly, that's what that is, right? If you didn't know what that was, okay? This is a picture of ligaments that have been separated. You see things that have been torn apart. They have been divided, okay? Now, the shoulder is not able to work or function the way that the body needs it to function when these ligaments are torn in the acromegaly separation, okay? That is clear. There is nothing. The body, the ligament has been detached. It's been separated from another part of the ligament. It cannot function in the way that it's supposed to function. Church history has seen waves and waves of these detachments and separations. I learned the other day that there are 1,300 denominations in the United States. 1,300 different denominations in the United States. And worldwide, there are 30,000 denominations worldwide. That's almost the exact same number of McDonald's in the world, by the way. Isn't that crazy? Why has there been such a massive division in the body of Christ? That's a topic for another day. But the root issue itself, that's what's being put on trial today. That's what's being put on trial. Can you show the next picture, please? Here we have, say, a surgeon has put these ligaments back together. Right? You see two of them, one is still separated. Now, when these ligaments are put back together, they are not strong, are they? They're soft. The tissue around them is susceptible to being detached once again. And unless it's properly cared for, let's just imagine all of these ligaments were put back together. You can imagine that that's not a strong ligament in and of itself. It has just now been put together. It's been fused back together, whatever those doctors do. I don't know what they do. But they put it back together, the tissue soft around it is susceptible to be breaking, it to be detached once again. Unless it is properly cared for, that ligament needs strengthening. That ligament needs strengthening. Well, how is something strengthened when you have a torn separation? Anybody? Rehab, right? You go to the physical therapist, and the physical therapist has this intense and rigorous tension. Oh, this is the upper shoulder. Tension that they get you to work with. There's rigorous tension. And there's rigorous resistance that is needed and able to strengthen that ligament. Are you following me, church? What Ephesians 4 is saying here? Every supporting ligament needs to be together in order for the family unit of God to be strong, in order for the body of Christ to be effective in the strength and the maturity that God designed it. The strength of the family of God is in direct proportion to how willing we are to go through and walk through the disagreements and the personal ideals and the differences and allow the covenant that binds us together in the family of God for that to shape our identity. I believe that God has called us to be a part of repairing these ligaments, so that the body of Christ can grow and mature into the bride that is ready to behold her King on that day. A mature bride, ready to meet her King, ready and prepared to behold her King. And the strength of that ligament is developed as it commits to going through rigorous tension and resistance. Sign me up. Yes! Sign me up. But man, I believe absolutely that this is what we're called to do. And I know for a fact, I know with everything inside of me also, that the enemy does not want this preached this morning. Healthy tension and resistance are what gives strength to the ligaments that bind us together in the family of God. And it only takes place when we reach the point of being vulnerable with one another and stepping into that space of unbreakable trust as brothers and sisters of Christ. This morning I had to step into that place of vulnerability. And I had to trust my brothers and sisters in Christ. I had to let people into my life in a very personal way. Hang on. It's in these moments that we truly come to the edge of how far this covenant bond will take us. And then what we have to ask ourselves is, will we trust God and His design? Or am I going to draw back and separate myself from that which God established and Christ established? I believe that what we do with this tension in the years ahead is what will determine and this resistance that the family of God and the family unit has been experiencing for so many centuries, I believe it's going to determine the effectiveness of the gospel moving forward. And I find it interesting to note that Paul's courageous confrontation to his brother Peter here, his brother, had quite the effect on him. The next time we pick up on Peter, it says that he came to his senses and he saw the error of his ways, and then he continued on as a faithful witness to Christ. I think that's awesome. Mike, could I invite you on up, please, as we draw this morning to a close? Look, we all know the arguments that we have. This is just a simple example. We all know the arguments that we have at holiday parties when there are people of different political parties in your family, and the discussion comes up and it gets heated and everyone begins to what? Draw back and separate. Right? Just draw back and separate. I heard growing up in college, you know, just in the college environment that there's this phrase that everyone just said, and that is, if you want to make friends and if you want to keep friends, don't talk about politics or religion. How false is that? I believe that if you want true friends and true family, brothers and sisters in Christ, then we have to be able to let one another into the vulnerable parts of our lives and allow and trust God with that. As nervous as it might be and as uncertain as that might look like, I think that's what we're supposed to do. And so what I believe, you know, in that family setting around a holiday table, and everyone's drawing back and separating, and people come back, and you come back because it's always better to focus on the thing that unites us. You know, what is it that unites us as the Smiths? You know, we grew up together, we had the same thing. It's far more important to focus on what unites you than what separates you. And the same is true with the body of Christ. Focus on what binds us together, for this is the foundation that God will build upon. Be intentional and seek to live in the covenant in this way, because that is an amazing platform for God to do amazing and great things. We are a family of God together. And when we in the family of God, we walk together in unity and we make it the utmost priority, I think that God is really going to burst forth. I think the church is going to burst forth. I think there's going to be such a tremendous impact in this world for the gospel message, because we're holding on to the essential thing that Paul was so heated up about. They may be different and look different to us, but man, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you read on in chapter 3 in the church, in the book right of Galatians, it says, "For in Christ Jesus we're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There's no Jew nor Greek. There is no slave nor free man. There's no male. There's no female. Neither are there complementarians and egalitarians, and neither are there cessationists and continuationists. Neither are there baby boomers or millennials. Neither are Latinos or Asian Americans. For all are one in Christ Jesus." You're simply in Christ or not in Christ. That's the only dividing barrier. And I believe that as part of the family of God, each one of us has to take responsibility for this for ourselves. And that's what I believe is our call today. So I could ask you to stand as we just respond to this morning's message. And just going to pray. I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Phil. Just bow your heads right now. Father, I thank you that in this moment, your family is together. Your family is together right here. This is one small expression of your family. We've gathered together to look at you, to set our eyes on you, to search out your heart. God, we've come together to know you more than we ever knew you before. Because God, we have tasted and seen of your goodness, and we're drawn to it. We're drawn to it. And so, Father, I thank you that in this moment we stand together as brothers and sisters bound in a covenant that is covered and sealed by the blood of Jesus. And there's nothing that can separate us. There is nothing that can divide us. So why, God, have we chosen to draw back and separate ourselves from others in the family? God, in this moment, we confess to you that this is not what you want for us. That this is not what you would have of your family. So God, in this moment, we're asking you to give us eyes to see our brother and sister the way that you see them. May we not draw back and separate just simply because they're different than us. But God, I pray that you would give us the courage. I pray that you would give us the conviction, Holy Spirit, to enter in and to establish a relationship with those who are different than us. Because God, it is in that that we are truly manifesting and expressing the manifold wisdom of who you are, in which you came to this earth to sacrifice yourself for. So God, I ask as we leave this place, may our attitude and our conversations, may our actions and our budgets and our calendars all reflect this reality. And Lord God, may we not be a people, when you come back, who were separating from that covenant bond. May we not be known as a people who are choosing to break away and break covenant over something that you're not willing to break covenant for. God, I pray that these words take deepest root today. God, I personally thank you for what I was crying out to you for.